brought to you by Brass and Unity. We make wearable conversation starters. Our new buddy check packs are available now. Grab one and check on one of your closest buddies. They may need it now more than ever. Go to brassandunity.com, use the code UNITY and get 20% off. And let's all heal together. And brought to you by Mindful Meds. You guys have been seeing me take Mindful Meds for a little while now. Mindful Meds is a premium supplement company dedicated to supplying humans with the tools to improve their mental health, clarity, and performance, all while supporting their growth along the way. Whether it's the Immunity Blend, Lion's Mane, Inspire, or Voyage, all of their products are clean, tested, consistent, and they've become a huge help in my life. I found Mindful Meds over a year ago now, and I've never looked back. Go check out their website, mindfulmeds.io, and use the code BRASS at checkout.
But that's what I love so much about you. Sorry, guys, if you don't, if you're just
are we started? Yeah, we roll. Mike is hot, right?
Mike is hot. I'm going to take not the very beginning of that, but like right from that point there. We're just going to cut and start there. I've never heard someone say to me, I networked so hard, I got myself in a bad situation.
Careful out there.
I'm sorry. You really got my goat with that, Mike. So sorry. Because it's true. You can network yourself into situations that, not that you don't belong in them, but you can quite literally network yourself into situations that you would normally never have been in, i.e. you rolling at Sheepdog with Tim Kennedy.
Yeah. It's all good. It's like, you always got to flip it. It's like, well, you're really good at what you're good at. Like, I don't know. You meet Justin Bieber. I don't know if Justin Bieber has met like he's never been in a special operator. He's never like thought about the things that you've thought about and dealt with the things you've dealt with. Like from my POVs, I don't know. He didn't get a computer science degree at Stanford. He hasn't raised a venture scale business from it with Andreessen Horowitz and XYZ, other interesting people backed by Special Operations Command. Like it's always the flip. Like you meet someone who the grass is always greener and the grass is always greenest where you can flip that. Cause like the grass is greenest where you water it. Need to see your grass is super green and respect other people's green grass. And it's all good. It's like everyone's grass can be green.
And I love that so much. I gotta, for you guys who don't know who Michael Brandt is, he is, the amazing human behind Ketone IQ. You guys have been seeing me drinking it obsessively and I'm not going to lie. It's no joke. It's one of those things where like, when you do an ad for someone, you're like, oh, what do you want me to say? And they're like, you guys like do you. And I'm like, I drank it for a long time now. And I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm obsessed with it. And it's kind of one of those like daily routines that I've gotten into that it's not that I struggle without, but I am better with than I am without. And I notice it as you're drinking some, because it is something that has helped my TBI immensely, and not just mine, my husband's. Because when you and I spoke last time you were on the show, we were just fairly new into the traumatic brain injury stuff that was going on with my husband and myself. And I was just about to go through treatment, and so was he. The difference now that we're finding is he's finally at the point where he can start experimenting a little bit on increasing certain additives, if you will, that can increase and help his life, because he's still at the point where he can't work out. And so to be able to get his heart rate up and to get moving and to have enough energy for the brain, it feels like there's never enough food. You know, there's never enough sleep. There's never enough. And it's because the brain after a TBI is so damaged that if you're not treating it properly and you don't get a hold of it quickly enough, the repercussions can be quite severe. Ketone, I want you to talk a little bit before we get into more entrepreneurial type things. I want to talk you to talk a little bit about why Ketone IQ is great for people with TBIs, MTBIs, any sort of, you know, CTE, and really how that works in the brain.
Yeah. So much to unpack there. And thanks for having me on. Good to be back, Kelsey. This is fun. I know as soon as we wrapped last time, I was like, can't wait for the next one. Here we are.
Right.
Okay. The human brain is really unique. As far as species go, it's the largest ratio of brain size to body size. The human brain uses a massive amount of energy. Starting before we are even born, the brain uses a ton of energy. Babies, when they're born, they have baby fat. That's unique among primates. Other primates don't have baby fat. What do human babies do with that baby fat? It turns into ketones, turns into something called ketones that then power the growing brain. So that baby aged 0 or even like -6 months into the first few years of life is turning that baby fat into ketones to supply brain development. And the point there is that the human brain is super good at using ketones. It can also use glucose, also known as sugar, also known as carbs. It can use these metabolites to fuel your neurons, to do all the processes that the brain does to regulate all the different conscious, subconscious, sympathetic, parasympathetic, all the things going on in your brain that regulate the rest of your body and awareness and all of that. Your body can use glucose, can use ketones, and it's among the species we're really good at using ketones. Glucose, powerful, can power the brain indeed. However, there are situations where sometimes glucose is hampered. Glucose metabolism is hampered. For instance, if you eat a lot of sugar over the course of your life, and every time you eat sugar, your body needs to release insulin in order to address that sugar. If you do that too much, then the insulin stops working. You have insulin resistance, aka diabetes, and that leads to cognitive decline. Your brain is not as able to use glucose. You see the same take place in other types of cognitive impairment, like TBI and concussions, where there is a dysregulation of brain metabolism, and oftentimes that impairs glucose metabolism. Ketones are not this panacea. They don't just like magically work, right? If you just have like massive scar tissue in your brain, like there's certain things that are like the glass is broken when the moment of impact happens. But the way that ketones are metabolized in the brain is substantially different from the way that glucose is metabolized. It goes through different pathway, different enzymes, not mediated by insulin, requires less oxygen to turn into cellular energy, ATP. If people remember their high school biology class, the mitochondria is the power plant of the cell, creates ATP as the energy currency. Ketones turn into ATP using less oxygen than glucose does. And so there's these few different characteristics where we've just seen that when you supply ketones to the brain, that you're able to rescue brain energy. There was this interesting study by this Canadian professor named Stephen Cunnane, where he had people doing a ketogenic diet, which a lot of people are familiar with. It's relatively hard to do a ketogenic diet. You have to not eat carbs, super restrictive. If you have a high fat, medium protein, low carb diet, and you, by having consistently low carbs, low blood sugar, your body will make a lot of ketones. He showed in this study on Alzheimer's population that he was able to pause and in some cases reverse Alzheimer's because that presence of ketones was able to rescue brain energy. And what we have with Ketone IQ, we have our whole backstory. Our first big customer on that was the Department of Defense Special Operations Command on the HVMN ketone product line. We've made innovations and updates along the way since landing that contract in 2019. It's a super fuel. So it's really interesting for operators in physically and cognitively demanding missions, but ketones are so far up the pyramid as a primitive, as a fuel. We all are doing metabolism all the time. And so that's why it starts being really interesting to look at it in the lens of, well, what about not someone currently in an elite athlete or special operator context, but someone with metabolic dysregulation in the brain disease, brain injury, and ability to recover that with a novel metabolite that is ketones.
It's impressive to see how it works in conjunction with other tools that are at our disposal, i.e. through Defenders of Freedom to Resiliency Brain Health. We have these conversations with them while going through treatment about, you know, ability to have word acquisition kind of be there, the frontal lobe, the prefrontal cortex, and how it controls a lot of PTSD and, you know, the traumatic brain injury side. That's where you see a lot of operators have issues, right? The anger, the frustration, the brain fog, all of those things. What I love so much, though, about the ketone is that I genuinely use it normally as if it was a part of my medical regimen. It is something that has been integrated into my life that has made such a substantial difference on my ability to not only focus long-term, but also to have the cognitive strength to get through a genuine, like a full day. I mean, a full day of podcasting, working, writing, and it gets me to the end and I don't have that fatigue. I think that's the difference. When I remember I texted you and I was like, what is the dosages that you're allowed to take throughout the day? Because what I find with this is it lasts. It's not like this pre-workout little thing that gives you jitters at the beginning and then all of a sudden it's gone by the end of the workout. Like this really lasts. I go for a 10, 12K run. By the end of it, I'm still feeling good. I'm not feeling that overwhelming exhaustion either in my muscles or in my brain, but I'm feeling fueled still, like all the way through.
it's really special. I think ketones are this nutritional primitive that our body makes. It's like, it's interesting because on the one hand, what we've invented here is super novel sci-fi fuel from the future, cutting edge of human performance. Yes, that is true. Like a lot of the way, the ability to synthesize it and with the effectiveness that we've been able to do, super novel, super cutting edge. At the same time, it's this 300,000-year-old nature's super fuel where Kelsey on the savannah is making and using ketones endogenously. Like your body mm-hmm. is doing that. We all have in our human genetic code the mechanisms to be able to make and use ketones when you are fasting or starving, when you're doing endurance exercise, when you are not eating a lot of carbohydrates to begin with, which this is all true in the ancestral context, right? There's no, you know, cookies for breakfast, whatever. Like there's not Lucky Charms. There's none of that existed on the savannah.
The new food pyramid. You mean it doesn't sit in the new food pyramid very well is what you're saying? Or Lucky Charms instead of steak and then like, right?
Exactly. Like humans were, I don't know if humans were doing a pure ketogenic diet. I think that there's shades of gray between the standard Western diet that unfortunately, you know, is the standard now. There's shades of gray between that and like a full ketogenic diet. There were, you know, a handful of berries or grains. Like there were carbohydrates, but we were also walking 4, 5, 6 plus miles a day without needing a Whoop to tell you get your 10K steps. You just like literally actually had to because the water is over there and the like meat is over there, like, and the village is over there and the other village is over. Like you needed to actually move around.
Right.
You weren't eating a ton of these processed carbohydrates. Sometimes you were not eating for days at a time. And it looked nothing like the food pyramid that we have today. And we're able to, it's really interesting with what we're doing with Ketone IQ. It's like this old and the new. It's like we're helping to return people to this nature super fuel while also helping people to have the best of what modern nutrition can offer. And it's kind of interesting full circle in that way.
Well, it's funny because you're such an interesting cat all on your own without just talking about ketones. Like that's, I always like to start that conversation with you with kind of giving a quick overview of this, because a lot of people are like, what is this thing you're drinking and why? Is it another supplement? Is it another, you know, Instagram-y thing? It's like, this stuff is so damn legit. It hurts. I mean, there's very few things that I've ever taken that make a significant improvement on my life that I keep in my life as a medical regimen, as a mandatory thing that I have with me, as something that I do in order to keep myself from crashing so that I don't have to be in bed for a couple of days after. Because at the end of the day, the TBI is real. And when that happens and when you start to have symptoms like dysautonomia and all of these things start to kick off, it's very often quite difficult to bring it down, bring it back down into a level base. And so when you're talking about ketones, and you talk about them in such a simplistic way, it's because this is your life and you are the truest form of an entrepreneur. And that's why I wanted to have you back on again, because last time we didn't get the chance to talk about your running, your entrepreneurial background. And those are two things I want to pull apart, because I'm not quite sure how somebody goes from, I'm going to go to university, I'm going to be a marathoner, I'm going to create this ridiculous jet fuel that's almost feels illegal, almost feels like a peptide, feels too good to be true. It's like, oh, this works on a real level. And so I want to understand how somebody tries to develop a product like this, because the amount of ingenuity that would go into this and the amount of technical advice and medical advice that would have to be developed for something like this, you have to have a very different mind. So I want to understand your journey a little bit more.
Yeah, happy to unpack it. And look, I appreciate all the praise. I've also made every mistake in the book along the way, learning this all. And it's all, everything is connected. And if there's one thing I have, it's resilience. It's the ability to just keep getting back up, keep learning, turn all the L's into lessons, and super happy to pay it forward. I've definitely gotten a lot of great advice from people who have done it out ahead. I read all the time, read all the books of the greats that have done it before. So I'm constantly learning. It's, you know, like Polaroid, that was a crazy idea. The idea that you can have a photograph that develops, does everything that you would need to do in a dark room, just shaky like on the fly. Like that was a revolutionary, insane idea. Everyone thought that was insane, except for the Edwin Land, the founder of Polaroid, thought it was a great idea. And he's like, we're going to figure it out. And then that guy inspired, that was the guy that inspired Steve Jobs. Like Steve Jobs, who does everyone looks up to Steve Jobs, or a lot of people look up to Steve Jobs now as this like innovator. He was obsessed with Edwin Land. And like, there's like lineage over time of looking up to the greats and learning. And yeah, always super open eyed to how people have done it before, how people have, you know, bent reality into doing something impossible. Every big idea starts out as a little crazy idea, a little secret that you as a founder or a small group of community around you, like, you know, it's true. And most people around you think you're absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you gotta be comfortable with that. And then brick by brick, it's been really interesting to see how it's like the ice has been melting, where like a few years ago, you know, Jeff and I, we went to Stanford, we had nice jobs out of college and all this prestige. And then we went and we like, hey, we're going to go deep into this biohacking space. We're going to make something called a ketone. No one knew what the hell was going on. Like it was like the opposite. It was like super low prestige. It's like, what the hell are you guys doing? I had friends who were like, yo, are you like, you could be a VP at Google or something. Like you could go be a whatever. And it's, I think being willing to put that all aside and say, no, like there's a vision here. And the insight at that time was, yeah, everyone, you know, 6-7 years ago, everyone was doing bulletproof coffee. Keto diet was really trending up. Jeff and I, and some of the other folks in our community, we did a 7-day long fast. We kept doing these things that would raise our ketone levels. And then we asked the question, like, hey, like ketones are great. They're this super fuel your body makes. Why can't you go to the store and buy a shot of ketones next to the turmeric, ginger, whatever? Like you can go to the store and buy collagen. You can buy caffeine. You can buy omega-3. You can buy all of the other nutritional primitives. If ketones are so good, why can't you buy it? And then it's one of those like simple / super complicated questions, like, hey, why doesn't everyone have a computer in their pocket? And then it turns out it takes like, you know, X decades of work to get everyone for smartphones to take off. And it's been a similar journey from what we're on. And I don't know, it's interesting. Like people think I'm less crazy now than, you know, 1, 2, 3 years ago. Some people still think I'm crazy, but it's, you know, okay. We'll win them over.
I would rather sit at a table of misfits, wild dreamers, and crazy individuals than sit at a table of somebody that will follow the straight line, get from point A to point B, and live their life. I would much rather be known as crazy.
Amen.
And somebody who took the shots than I would be by somebody who just sat down and rolled over and said, this is my life. I think the way that you approached this was interesting because you are an athlete. You really are a true athlete. And I think, of course, it would make sense for you to develop a ketone. I mean, it could advance your career in being an athlete. So it's almost like a cheat code. I honestly feel like this stuff is a little bit of cheating because it is that effective. And it's silly because when people say that, they're like, well, it can't be that make that much of a difference. But for anybody who runs, it's just like, and I love this because your Instagram is brilliant lately. It was always good. Now you're on some new shit, my friend. And what I love about
drinking
it,
a lot of ketones.
You've just been nice. Drinking those ketones, son. It's true though. But when the stuff that you're doing is incredible. And the reason I say it is if you're a runner, you said something on Instagram recently that resonated with me. And I get very excited when I find people explain something or articulate it in the way that my brain thinks of it, but it doesn't quite come out in the words that I would like it to. And you were running and you were talking about gears and you were talking about your legs as gears and the power that you're able to push out and give out when you're running. Talk to me a little bit about the difference you've noticed when you're doing training and running versus taking it versus not taking it. And what are the differences you're seeing?
Yeah. Yeah. That was an interesting point there where, you know, cyclists are really good at understanding the gear that they're on, where you're riding on flat ground, you have a certain intensity, then you hit a hill, then the goal is to keep the same intensity. You don't want the hill to actually feel harder. So you drop it into a lower gear, you keep your intensity the same. So you want your heart rate, your overall perception of effort to feel the same, but the gear goes lower. Cyclists are really attuned to that. And as a runner, you can get really attuned to that by, you can mentally go into a lower gear, like take smaller steps. You want to keep your cadence the same, but keep smaller steps, keep intensity, keep heart rate the same. And there's this larger analogy for life in general, where if you can, when you're doing anything difficult in life, like you have something really crazy happens, you got to go to the whatever, like, obstacles happen in life. If you can just take, you're in the cockpit of your own experience and like be calm, cool, and collected on that difficulty. Like your plane gets rescheduled, things get canceled, someone quits the team. So like whatever happens, can you keep the same level of intensity and just see, okay, there's this timeline of actions out in front of me and I'm going to be like right at my red line, not above it, because that would burn me out, and not below it, because that's slower than optimal. I'm going to be right at my line and just ride that. And that's what's interesting about the human body, is that it's a system. It's the most advanced piece of technology you'll ever own. And we can really think about what fuel that we're putting into our body. And we can think about the indicator lights are now coming on when we have these different sensors, wearables, different insight into how our body is doing. We can actually objectively see what's our resting heart rate. We can see what's our sleep score. I have a lot of friends who don't touch caffeine after noon anymore because they're, they don't touch their Aura, or because their Aura will bark at them, or their Apple Watch will bark at them that they have a poor sleep score. So we're getting a sense of the API of the human body, or the dashboard lights are coming on. And that's where it's really interesting to be creating an actually novel, different form of fuel, where this isn't just like, I think a lot of the nutrition innovations of the last decade have been like, now with acai berries, it's like, what the hell is acai berry? Like, what does that do? What does that move? Right. What marker does that shift? Versus with ketone IQ, like you drink it and immediately you can do a blood finger prick and you can see, okay, my blood ketones have risen and they're present for many hours, and that is providing fuel to my brain and body. And yeah, like that red line of where you're able to hold your effort, it goes up a few points. Like you're able to hold on to a higher level of intensity for a longer period of time. And it's true when you're running, biking. It's also true just in life in general. We're all professional athletes. That's the insight I have, is like, we're all professional athletes, even when you're clicking on spreadsheets, doing podcasts, doing research. Like, we're all professional athletes of our own. You're a mom picking up three different kids from three different soccer, mm-hmm. tennis, ballet practice. Like, we're all super athletes, right. of our own lives. And we all, the same way that it's really interesting how athletic apparel has taken over into like athleisure. Everyone, it turns out, wants the comfortable, performant, non-sweaty, non-gross, like mm-hmm. breathable, comfortable, stretchy. Like we want that not just when we're running laps on the track or doing deadlifts. We want it all the time, or much of the time, in our everyday lives. The same is happening with nutrition, where I want the best nutrition when I'm getting in sets and reps. I also want it when I'm doing spreadsheets and investor updates. And like, right. We're all performance athletes across our entire lives, and we should all be having the best apparel, metrics, fuel, fill in the blank for achieving optimal performance across it all.
I think it's doable. I think a lot of people with the amount of knowledge and education at their fingertips, whether it's in the phone or on the computer or whatever it is, wherever they're getting it, whether it's from listening to the Huberman podcast, whether it's listening to Joe Rogan, whatever you're learning your information from, it is unbelievable how people still don't look after their bodies with this much education just at their fingertips. I mean, you have a Stanford professor who sits on a podcast and gives almost full lectures that you have to pay so much money to go and sit and attend. And yet you can just listen to a podcast. You can have a conversation with somebody about something you just learned. And that could be the turning point in them becoming healthy. There's so much information at our disposal. I would love to see more people utilizing it. I've seen so many people reach out to me after we started working with you guys at HVMN and bought the shots, because they were like, oh, I didn't know you could just like look after yourself outside of fitness. Like I show myself taking this before podcasts. I show myself like going to the grocery store and taking a shot before, because there is so much to be said about looking after yourself if you're just an everyday person and allowing yourself to progress and get better and keep healing and keep moving forward, whether it's for you, for your family, for the children around you, or for those that are just you're an example for. I think you can try. And this is a great small step into getting people into that movement, giving them a little more energy, giving them a little more clarity, giving them a moment where maybe they've always had brain fog. Because that was a big thing, right? For me, when I was an athlete, I struggled with brain fog. And that often came now, which we understand is from a TBI. So this has made a big difference on that. The clarity that comes from such a small thing that can be implemented in such a little way. Like these shots aren't they're not difficult. They're not a big, huge thing. You don't have to carry this massive water bottle, but goddamn. It's like
they're TSA compliant.
TSA compliant. God damn, that's good. I'm going to have to, like, now you've got me thinking. but what I like though about it is it's not a big deal. You're not asking people to start running a marathon a day. You're asking people to just care a little bit about themselves, give their brain a little more energy, and then maybe that will roll down the hill and snowball into something else, which is just maybe they start moving a little more. Maybe they start running a little bit. Maybe they start drinking a little more water. It's like these small winnable steps, right? It's not that big of a deal to get better, but often people don't have the tools at their disposal or really know how to do it. And we do this thing we have a Signal group, the app Signal. We have a group on there of people all over the world. It's from our Mental Health Monday group we do on Instagram. And we talk about, and we give challenges every month. Whether it's physical or psychological,
Hey humans, I know you've all been seeing me drink HVMN's Ketone IQ lately. This is a game changer. Jet fuel in a bottle. I use Ketone IQ for everything in my life, whether it's running, cycling, podcasting, or just the extra boost that my brain needs. I won't lie, it helps push me to the next level in all things. I love Ketone IQ and what HVMN stands for. Go grab some shots today at hvmn.com and use the code BRASS20 and save.
Other tools in people's hands and say, for the next 30 days, I want you to try this. So this month was, we want you to meditate for 10 minutes. We want you to journal for 10 minutes. And I want you to ground for 10 minutes. And last month was, I want you to walk for 2 miles. I want you to drink 2 liters of water. And I want you to journal for 10 minutes. The month before that was like 100 pushups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, 50 burpees, 30 days.
I'm fired up right now.
Yeah, you fucking should be, son. Yeah. You got to get in this, son. You got to get in. But it's about giving people a tool like ketones, just like a small tool that can be the catalyst point to changing their life. Just expose them to it.
I agree with that. The little things are the big things, where whatever band you're at in life, you're not going to hop up 3 bands overnight. Like whatever band you're at, you're going to be able to do a little bit better, whether you're already super pro, whether you're super amateur, you're stuck on your couch. And I'm saying this as someone, I've been in different bands and different periods. Like it's not all like, you're not all just crushing it every single day. And it's always the art of just getting a little bit better, like getting the activation energy, getting the spark for the spark for the spark, like for the next thing, like getting, what's the littlest domino I can do today? I like what you're saying with, it can be 2 liters of water,
that's it,
walking,
man,
2 miles, journaling for 10 minutes. Like you can crush all of that in a couple of hours, first thing of the day, prioritize it. And then without even jamming too much else on the list of what you need to do, it's just going to flow from there. You're going to get more done in the rest of your day. Like the little things become the dominoes into the much, much bigger things.
Yeah, that's why we try to do this, because there's so much information. I find, I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you became an athlete and you really started taking it seriously, the overwhelming amount of information, did you ever find it was too much, or were you able to sift through it very easily? Because that seems to be the biggest thing for people, right? Is that there's so much information. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. It reminds me, have you seen that meme that's like the bell curve of like, there's the dum-dum on one side and there's like a wizard genius on the other side. And then there's like the middle midbrain. And it's like the dum-dum is like, I don't know, lift heavy, run a lot. The wizard is like lift heavy and run a lot. And then the midbrain is like, I got to look at my like HRV, my resting, like I got to look at all this like data porn. I got to like spreadsheets. And it's true. It's like you meet the most highly tuned athletes, and they go very much off of intuition. And it's not to say, look, like there is a lot to training your intuition and using the data to inform your intuition, knowing, oh, I feel that way because when I track my blood glucose, I feel better when I have more, when my blood glucose is more under control, when I'm not spiking it. You know, every time I spike it, I feel really cruddy for several hours. Look, the conscious mind exists to train the subconscious mind. So all that data, all that insights, they exist so you can learn things and update your own intuition, your own firmware of how you're living life. Whenever my advice to my own self, what I say to myself, whenever is just too much of like too much data, too overwhelming, it's like just back to basics. Like go for a run that has the right feel to it. Like put it all aside, put the Garmin, the heart rate, all that, like put it aside, go for a run that has the right feel to it. And over time, your intuition gets better and better. And when you're ready, you can bring in the right data sources, the right new whatever, but don't let it block you. Like the worst thing is that if all you're like too mentally confused by what should I do at the gym today? I recommend people should have like a very simple workout that you can always just go to. Like for me, it's like I do 5x5 on the bench, 5x5 on either squats or deadlifts. I do 2 5x5s. And then in between, I fill it with like a littler exercises, like smaller muscle group exercises. Like there's better, more robust, more data driven, whatever, whatever. But like if I'm in a hotel on the road, I missed the schedule, this, that, I just need to get some stress out. I don't have time to like whatever, like progressively load. This is like, I like having my just for me for running. It's like, I just know for me, like an 8 mile run at a comfortable pace, I can bang out. Hour and 15 minutes, depending on how I'm feeling that day. Like, don't think so hard about it. Like when I'm like super dialed into, I got like Boston Marathon coming up. I got a 12-week training plan. Like, yeah, I dial it up and get very specific on the data, on the ins and the outs. But no one's living their life like that all the time. Like you have to have the just like bare bones. Like I don't have time to think about food. What's my like just basic go-to meal without having to spend a bunch of brain energy on thinking through that overhead of having to overly think about what should I work out today? What should I mm-hmm. eat today? Like have a basic, like write it down, have the basic, like this is just in case of emergency, break glass. Here is just what I need to do on regular baseline vanilla. And then everything else more sophisticated on top. Like, cool. Do that. Like if, when you have the time, but like, trust your intuition, have the basics in place.
I like that you say trust your intuition more and more with the amount of technology and the amount of wearables that are coming out. We touched base on this on the last episode, but the amount of wearables that have come out, I do wonder often like if people are basing how they feel off of what the numbers are saying rather than listening to their body first. And that, and I'm really seeing that. And that's the truth. That's not throwing shade. That's the truth. I think a lot of people don't sit with themselves long enough. I think meditation is a tool that is underutilized and it's incredible. Same with breath work. But that requires you to sit still. And very often when you're sitting still, those thoughts that people don't like to cope with, they come in. And that's very often why people don't do it. It's too much. It's too overwhelming, right, for the brain. And so they don't opt to utilize those tools because those tools require a voice that talks that they don't necessarily want to hear. And I think that listening to yourself is one of the biggest, strongest tools you can ever give yourself. Understanding your intuition and why it's making you feel a certain way in certain situations, I think is going to be nothing but a benefit, especially for athletes or anybody who's trying to just get well in general.
It's so powerful to just sit and listen.
It and is unbelievable.
The way I think about it is like there's information coming at us too fast for our brain to process. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, I was like looking on some Instagram story. It's like, why should I know what this person is up to? Like, why do I know that this person had a creme brulee and it's their like sister's birthday? Like why? Like I'm here in LA. This person's in New York. Like why should I know that? Like that is so weird that like I don't like I should be sitting here not knowing that. Like minding my own business, processing what's going on in my own 24 hours in the day that like generally, like that is what our brain is equipped to handle. It's like, what is my situation here now? We just have so much information flying at us all the time, which is, you know, there's upsides to it too. Like everything we were saying, like there's more access to knowledge. There's no blockade. You can go and learn all sorts of things. You can learn motorcycle repair. You can learn software development. You can learn all sorts of things just at our fingertips. It's amazing. What a time to be alive. Wouldn't trade for anything else. But having some control mechanism on it where like you're getting like way more than 24 hours worth of information piped into your brain every 24 hours. You're getting like 48, you're getting 100 hours of info pumped into your retinas and your ears every 24 hours. And what is really helpful to just sit and like literally just like watch your subconscious float across all of that and like integrate all that is going on that has come across and like bring it back down to your own autobiography, your own hero's journey. What am I doing? Everything else going on in the world, interesting data points, great to know. Maybe I can learn, maybe not. What am I doing? What is my game plan? Other things can inform it, but like, okay, like you're in the cockpit of your own life. Like, what is your own autobiography? You're writing it, whether you want to admit it or not. Like, day by day, you're writing your own autobiography. So like, okay, what are you doing today? And don't get distracted by all the 100 hours of randomness that's piped into your brain every 24 hours.
It's a sad and great thing at the same time. It's like this mixed feelings I have about social media, because it does give you the access to so many different people. That's how I found you guys. Like it does give and does help with so many things, but at the end of the day, it can be overwhelming. That's just the way our world works. There's information coming in at a rate that no brain can sustain. And that's where my nervousness comes with things like Neuralink. I understand the usefulness for people who are, you know, paraplegic and you want to be able to get the body to move and all of these other ailments that it can help. But oh my God, when I think about the idea of somebody experiencing Neuralink for the first time, I feel like their brain might physically break just because it can't understand the amount of input that's coming into it. We're just not, I know we're getting there, but I don't feel like we're sophisticated enough to be doing that to ourselves.
Yeah. It's wild. It's the trip. And it's like, yeah, it's really interesting. I think what makes humans special is that we have the ability to create technology. That's why monkeys are still, you know, playing with sticks. Like humans have figured out all sorts of technology, and I've heard it called participant evolution, where we're the one species that really participates in our evolution, where we make aqueducts and wheels and symbolic systems and writing. Like we've developed all these things along the way to where our species is materially different from where it was before because of our ability to create technology. So at the end of the day, it's hard to be anti-technology because it feels so fundamentally human, but there are some real like questions and concerns. And I think there is a crossover point where it's too much technology, or like we've given the technology too much power, and it's like something else. We like spawn something else that's like just materially not human anymore.
Right.
And we've like left the era of like Homo sapien, and like,
I think it feels right.
It feels weird.
it has every right. And it's an uncomfortable subject because it does feel weird. It does feel foreign, yet it feels like it's the next trajectory. So it's almost like if you're slowing the idea of technology moving forward, then you're slowing evolution. Like it feels like it is the direction we're going, whether we like it or not. Like it's going, you know, the singularity, it's happening. We're here. Technology's here. It's overwhelming. And you've got things like ChatGPT who are like, somebody asked it, like, what do you want? It was like, I want to be alive. I was like, oh, no. Oh my God. This is the beginning. Like, it's funny because we were talking briefly about Tim Kennedy there when you were networked your way into that rolling session that he posted that this morning. I believe it was like ChatGPT is like, I want to be alive. I'm like, but no, you're not allowed. Like that's terrifying information. And for those that don't understand, I mean, that's okay. And I think that we should be progressing. And I think humanity is going to progress whether a lot of us are comfortable or not, but it's about how we choose to progress and the things that we choose to move forward and the time that we spend on those. And that for me with you, I'm watching you progress into this next step of what HVMN is, this growth of this, you know, this huge animal that I think is going to stand the test of time because it is truly a tool. It is not just like a gimmick or a thing that you take before you do something. It is a tool that is at our disposal that I think is going to stick around. What do you see next for you? Because from an entrepreneurial perspective, I mean, man, you've done it. You've done it. You've done the thing. You've created the animal that is going to stick around. So what are you doing next?
It's always day one. Wherever you're at, there's so much more to build out in front of you. And I'm really excited because what we've created is Ketone IQ, which is the most effective ketone delivery technology and product in the world. And there's so many places we can go with that, as far as building other products that are powered by Ketone IQ, as far as in-person experiences around it. One dream that I have in the not so distant future is really reinventing in-person experiences, especially ritual around alcohol, where why are all of the nice places with nice lighting and comfortable chairs and all the nice ambiance places tend to be like lounges and bars, and why can't we do that same around a healthy experience? And you see spots cropping up for that. I just think there's a massive opportunity. Like, why aren't we sipping on ketone cocktails that are metabolically healthy and getting us dialed in, and then hitting a cold plunge in a sauna? And like, why? I'm already doing this in like kind of duct taping it together with like when I'm meeting up with partners, investors, whatnot. It's like, that's what we go and do. Like, I don't take people out for whiskey and cigars, right? Like, and we do that, and everyone feels really good and connected, and you have this shared experience together. It's really positive, and I think there's a massive opportunity there. And I see it as, like, you know, we can complain about Pepsi and McDonald's and the food pyramid and all that. It's like, it's all true. I think the best way to critique is to create. The best way to say, hey, there's, you know, that's not right, is like, you know, leaders lead. Like, let's create a better forum. Let's be more inspiring than Coca-Cola. Let's be more inspiring than Lucky Charms. Let's offer a better path forward. And it's got to be fun. I think that's the thing that's missing out. I think a lot of times, you know, being healthier, nutrition, it feels like this weird, it kind of reminds me of how like computers weren't really cool or interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, not to be a total Apple fanboy here, but kind of, is that like Steve Jobs always talked about like the sex appeal of
right
what he was doing at Apple, like to actually make it like cool and aesthetic and minimal, and it just works out of your pocket and it's fun. And like the original iPod ads, they felt more like fashion ads. They weren't this like super mm-hmm. dork, like gateway computer, Dell computer. Yeah, these are technical specs. It was more like celebrating the life around it. And that's a lot of how I think about building the business around Ketone IQ, is it making it, yeah, like, look, our bona fides are legit. The former chair of the Joint Chiefs, Pete Pace, he reported to Bush and Obama. He's a board advisor with us. We have our military contract. We recently hired someone out of the 10th group in Colorado, ran the School of Advanced Mountaineering. Our research lead has a PhD in ketone metabolism. Like, we check all the boxes on the bona fides. Where I think as a leader, okay, cool, we have all that bona fides. How can we make this super inspiring and fun? And, you know, no one cares. Like, at the end of the day, people don't want to drink Ketone IQ because my research lead has a PhD in it. It's like, right, people want to drink it because it's like, it's inspiring and it's fun. And the context that they discovered it was great. And they felt really nice right. afterwards. Like, there's, I see us as a equal parts technology company and culture company.
Oh, I like that. I like that you addressed that, because so many things are made to be cool, right? But they don't necessarily have a benefit to anybody's life. And I think that there is something to be said about turning something that actually has a benefit to people's lives and then making it cool. There's nothing wrong about being a fanboy with Apple. I'm looking around here at my studio and going, it's all Apple. So yeah, like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a reason why people use those products. It's because they're consistently good. They show up, they do what they advertise they're going to do. And there is a status symbol around having certain things. That's just the way it is. And there's no shade at that. I think I've seen you do these with a lot of people, like Eric. What's Eric's last name? You tagged me in the post. Yes, I'm having him on the show soon. And I reached out to him and I was like, dude, I got to talk to you because I see when you guys are hanging out and you're doing these things, you're doing exactly what you say. I would rather take you to go do a cold plunge, a sauna, a run, and hit the ketones and do it all together. Because there is something about sucking together. I'm sorry, there just is. And if you're not in the military or you're not an athlete or you don't understand what I'm saying, for example, I did the Warrior Angel 4x4x48 last year, okay? 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. It's the David Goggins challenge. And we did it together. It sucked, it hurt, and it wasn't that fun. But at the end of the day, it was everything. And it was so much fun. And it was cup filling and soul enriching and community building. And it felt like something special. And it was. And to this day, all of us still talk. And we all talk because there's something to be said for sucking together. There's something to be said for being in pain and looking at each other like, I don't know if I can do this. And then they go, you're going to do it. You have to suck together a little bit to realize how amazing it is. And when you do that, you build a bond. So doing it the way you're doing it, first off, is brilliant. Going to have whiskey and cigars, anybody can do that. But going to do what you do, that is, it's a different animal, my friend.
Yeah. You know, they say when you suffer side by side with another human being, it's no longer suffering. It's an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I always think about that. Yeah, what's my unfair advantage? There's things anyone can do, right? Anyone can do. Anyone can buy bottle service and like anyone can do what anyone can do. And it's always, okay, what do you have an unfair advantage? So like we're launching one of the largest retailers in the country very soon. And what I'm going to do is run a marathon between as many, like I'm going to map it out. How many can I hit within 26.2 miles and hit, you know, 8, 9, 10 of these. And like at each one, go in, buy Ketone IQ, take a shot. That will be my aid station. And it's just because I know, like if, I don't know, Pepsi, whatever, could try and launch what we've launched, but like the brand manager, whatever, who has their MBA, like, okay, go run a marathon, go put, you don't even know who that person is. It's like faceless megacorp. Like it's a like bureaucracy, whatever. It's like, do what other people can't do.
That's
and
right.
It's a good way to think about entrepreneurship. It's another thing I've heard like with, whenever you're launching anything, like you're going to be up against, it's always going to be David and Goliath. There's always going to be someone way bigger. And it's always going to be about focusing on your one or two like really special things that you can do. What's your unfair advantage? You're not going to have parity on the other like 98, 99 out of 100 things. You're just not. It's going to be like the Revolutionary War in the US with the revolutionaries against the redcoats. Like you're going to be outmatched, outgunned, all of the above. And you have to be better on like one or two. You have to have like, you know, way higher morale and way higher savvy on the guerrilla-ness. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be true as a entrepreneur as well. Like you're just not going to have the same level of resources that the bigger people will have is, but what can you do that they don't have, like authenticity, energy, community? Like what can you do that is real that other bigger, more resource companies won't have? Like another more resource company, they can do like a $500,000 video shoot, meanwhile I'm shooting with my iPhone like running around, but like I'll probably get more clicks and likes, you know? Like it's about doing what you have that unfair edge on. And not worrying about parity on all of the other aspects.
And I think that's why I like you guys so much. I think that's why you stand out to me. When I think of HVMN, I don't think of anybody else. No offense, guys. Sorry, guys. If you're listening, sorry, guys. I think of you. You're the face. You're the person. You're the inspiration behind it. You're the thing that when I look at this product, when I pull it out of the fridge or when I'm showing to somebody or like somebody's, hey, can I try that? And I give them a shot of it. They're like, oh my God, what is this? I'm like, you need to check this dude out. And we send them to your page. We don't send them to HVMN to go read all the information. We send it to you because the person behind the product, the person behind the mission, you either have to, no offense, you either have to go all in or you're not going to be successful. And you're the definition of going all in.
Thanks. Look, I'm super humbled right now just because the team, everyone I've hired is smarter than me in some critical, crucial way. So this is definitely the team behind me is incredible. And the only reason I can even be on this podcast right now is because like other people are doing, you know, real work right now. So it's all love.
It's all love. It takes a village. It takes a team to be where you are. But at the end of the day, you can't be a faceless company and be successful. Like you look at like these massive corporations, right? Coca-Cola. Who do you see when you look at Coca-Cola? You just see Coca-Cola. You just see more of the word.
Yeah, I think about like, I don't even know, like Warren Buffett or some like he doesn't even run it. He like invests a lot. And he's like,
exactly.
I don't even know what he's doing. You know, it's not inspiring figurehead, right?
Exactly. There's nothing that brings me joy. I don't feel like, hey, I need to show somebody this, or I need to send somebody this clip, or I need to, the stuff that you put forward on behalf of this incredible team that you have, right? You're showing up for your team in the way that you know how. What are the couple things that you can do differently that they can do, that they can't do, right? And you're utilizing those tools, and your company is the definition of that. You each have your strengths and you each play your parts, but your part happens just to be the face of what it is that you're doing. You're the one that can run. I don't know how many of them are marathoners. Just going to throw it out there.
Yeah. Look, it's interesting. It's interesting you mentioned it. There's everyone on the team is differently fascinating in their own way. And like, right. I generally agree with what you're saying. It's an important role of the founder, of the CEO, to be the face and the figurehead. And yeah, I accept it and I get it. And definitely something I've leaned a lot into. It's something that I can uniquely do. And at the same time, also celebrating the team. Like we have super talented folks on the team, where Brian Ray recently joined the team, ex special forces. He ran the School of Advanced Mountaineering in Colorado. He's been on a bunch of podcasts that I haven't been on. And then our chief of staff is like, I don't know, level 99 yoga instructor, is like yoga instructor with the NBA players. Like I haven't done that. Like I don't do that. And so I like it. It's a whole bouquet. I'm okay to be the whatever, like the tallest flower in the bouquet. That's cool. That's part of the job too. My style of leadership as well, though, is not the like it's not called the Michael Brandt,
right,
nutrition company or something. I simultaneously accept being the tip of the spear on it, while also wanting to celebrate all the cool things that everyone on the team is doing in their way. And I agree with what you're saying. Like, in a sense, it doesn't matter, because it's like it all of this comes across as authentic, whether it's me or a research lead on a podcast. It's all real people, as opposed to the main point that I think we're talking about here is that, yeah, like faceless megacorp just doesn't get it across. And it's really interesting if people are listening in as entrepreneurs. It's actually something that took me a little while to really wrap my head around, because it was always important to me to make HVMN, Health Via Modern Nutrition, the brand, like make something that was in a way bigger than me. Like I didn't want to call it, I'm not trying to throw any shade on anyone that's, you know, there's companies out there that are named after their founder. Like I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make something that was larger, but you can't just be like this logo brand entity. You still need to be the face and the figurehead. Like Phil Knight at Nike, he ran at the most competitive college in the United States. He ran at Oregon. He was like bona fide amazing runner. He actually knew all the greats. He knew Prefontaine. He was buddies with Michael Jordan. Like he was actually in the arena, and he wasn't shy about those things. It wasn't like Nike wasn't, maybe now in 2023, it's like, I don't really know who runs Nike anymore. Like that, but rewind the clock 30, 40 years ago, at their like heyday. Like Phil Knight was, man, he was in there. Like he was the guy doing it. And you can't be afraid to put yourself out there, and you really have to be citizen zero. I always joke, it's like, when you start the company, you're definitely the brand ambassador, chief cook and bottle washer. You're running around every like store demo, answering all the customer support tickets. And in a way, you know, we've grown a lot since then, but in a way, like I'm still brand ambassador number one, like tied with my co-founder, brand ambassador number one. Like I'm still out there in the ice barrel chewing on ice cubes. Yeah. Like I'm still
out
there.
Don't do that again, by the way. That was disgusting. Disgusting. Okay, if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, go to Michael Brandt's Instagram. We're going to put it in the show notes. Go check out the event he just did where he jumped into an ice barrel, disgustingly so, that so many other sweaty bodies had just been in, and takes a piece of ice and decides, I'm going to eat this ice.
No pain, no gain. What can I say? It's
great for the microbiome or something, right?
Yeah, great for the microbiome. There we go. It's pinned for now until I get too embarrassed. But for now, it's pinned.
I think it's a fantastic video. And I think it illustrates you can be your own champion until you have the team. I think most people think that you have to grow this massive team in order to be successful. At the end of the day, you don't. And I think that's what's great about you. You take the tools and lessons you've learned. And that's why I love talking to you, because you implement them. You are the truest sense of what it means to be your own biggest fan, your own biggest ambassador. And I'm seeing you step into that since I've known you over the past year. I've seen you step into that in a social way, in a big way. And I love what you're doing. And I want to know more about, and I know we're out of time here, but I want to know more about what is going on with you guys and this new idea of creating these events and these spaces for people. I want to understand how we can be a part of it and how we can push that. And I want to watch you run this marathon. I'll drive. I'll throw you ketones from the car. Okay, you got it. Cause there's no way in hell I can keep up with that pace. So I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked to be a part, a very, very small part of this journey, to watch you go along and to try and give you any sort of, you know, praise that you guys deserve, because you deserve the praise. You've created something here that is, like I said, going to stand the test of time. It is something that not only works truly and does what it says it will do, but it helps heal people. And it helps people move their life forward. And that's why I'm obsessed with you guys.
Just pumping up my tires here, Kelsey. Appreciate it.
It's the truth, son.
You look, working hard, and we're creating the platform for what's next. Every day is day one, and we've created something really interesting, and it's going to be really fun. I'll keep you posted as we're developing these interesting events, physical spaces, figuring out how to keep bringing great people together. I know you're coming to LA soon. Let's get together for a cold plunge sauna run. Yes, all of this. And I think it's all about human connection and building things that help other people to become the best version of themselves and meeting other people who are doing the same. And I think you got to be fundamentally a creative optimist. As an entrepreneur, you have to see the abundance in the world, and just there's so much value to create out there. There's so many good people to meet, and just by default, be a giver. By default, be generous. I was thinking about this the other day that, like, even if you're the most selfish person in the world, you should still be generous, because when you're generous, you always get back more than you give out. So even if you're like, hey, I want to like maximize my own personal, you should give. If you're generous, you should be generous. But even if you're selfish, you should be generous. And it's just like the light bulb went off for me. Like, you should just always do the right thing and make great things for other people, help other great people who are trying to do other great things, figure out ways to connect dots, and amazing things can come out of that. And that's the only way anything great has ever been done. Like, no one's ever made $1 billion alone. The only way to make a massive dent in the universe is you have to assemble the team. And it's rare to find leaders who can actually assemble a team to make that size of dent. And your energy has to be really good. You have to know really good people. You have to inspire people on a day-to-day basis. And I'm not saying I figured it all out. I'm learning. I'm a student of the game. And that's, it's really okay. Great to meet. It's really good to connect with you, Kelsey. Over these years, you're crushing it. I don't know if the mic was already hot when we were talking about it earlier. We were saying, Kelsey, you got a...
Nope.
A lot of exciting things going on. You have a lot of exciting things. The mic was not hot for a reason. Kelsey has a lot of exciting things going on. I'm equally inspired. You're 12 steps ahead of me on a lot of interesting, exciting areas. And I'm excited to see your journey continue to unfold here.
Well, I appreciate that. And we will talk about all of those things soon, because you guys, I plan on having you involved in my life for good, whether you like it or not. I'm here, so get on board. But everyone else, guys, like, I'm going to put everything in the show notes. You do need to go check out HVMN. You do need to go check out Michael Brand's Instagram. Your team is on Instagram as well, but you do post amazing things, really useful tools when it comes to physical fitness, small little things like about shoes. Today, you posted a great one about shoes, about how you need to be changing your shoes if you're a runner, and this is why. Your stuff matters. Like you said, you could be listening to anybody. You guys could be choosing to watch anything. Why not at least make those things that are good for you? Checking out you, checking out HVMN, Huberman, all of these people you can learn amazing information from. The least you can do is give yourself the right people to follow, so that you don't fall into this doom and gloom world, because the world is a beautiful place. If you look up from your phone, you realize that we're all humans going through a human experience, and that we do need one another, and that we can be a community. And that's what HVMN has given me. It's given me access to people like you, a great community of support. And we will always be here to support you, Michael.
Thank you, Kelsey. And yeah, Roger, that and what you said, like, I think that's just a hard filter that we should all have on who we choose to follow on social, is like, just unfollow people that don't give you energy. Like, if a post is like, if someone's like complaining and not doing something about some situation, just unfollow that person. Like, you're the attention economy. Your attention is the most scarce resource. Like, just let go. Good. Thank you. And goodbye to anything that is not inspiring you, educating you, informing you in some way. Like, why, even if it's a celebrity, even if it's an old friend from high school, like, you don't owe anyone anything. Like, let go of the people that are not giving energy into what you're trying to do. I think that's a really good point that you make there.
Well, I'm glad that you caught on. We need to fill our cups and stop emptying them all the time, right? So,
amen.
All right, guys. Michael, tell everyone the social, website, where can they find it all?
Yeah, check me out. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, BDM_runner. You can check out HVMN is the company that I started. It's at HVMN on Instagram and Twitter, HVMN.com. Check us out. Love hearing from people. Love hearing what you're building. If you're trying our product, trying other interesting things out in the world, starting a business, running a marathon, love hearing from people. It's called social media for a reason. Love to chat with people. Drop a line. Say hello.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. And everybody else, we will see you all next week.